Well, good morning. How is everybody? Now, I need you to make me feel at home. Can you just give God a praise? If you were not here Wednesday evening, I thought I was going to lose my mind. They had an organist, and the voices joining together were such that I believed I was in heaven. I didn't know whether to run, cry, or speak in tongues. Second Timothy 4 and... All right. Don't poke the bear. My wife of 43 years is here as well. And my youngest son. And my grandson. And I have some members of Bethany as well. 2 Timothy 4 and 13 says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchment." I want to talk about the good book and the good books. But I want to add a parenthetical, and that is accentuating the already accentuated. The Apostle Paul is in the on-deck circle near death's batter's box. Forgive the baseball analogy for those who don't follow baseball. Paul probably knows that his life will soon end. As the apostle contemplates his own death, high on his list of things which are important to him are his reading materials, his books. So he sends for them. Research tells us not just any books, but probably the Torah, his good book, and other related or perhaps interpretive materials. In this instant, the apostle reminds me of my late father, the Reverend Dr. Walter M. Brown, Sr. He was a bookman. His attic housed thousands of books, and I declare he knew what was in every one of them. He was possessive about his books, and not just any books or book. He wanted the book and those things designed to supplement and interpret the good book. I remember him saying while waiting on his own on-deck circle before his death, "Mike, it's not that I don't want to die, but there's so much more to learn about this great God." But why for the apostle and my papa other books and not just the good book? Isn't the good book enough all by itself? Brown says, I'm Brown. When something is of unmistakable worth, of unquestioned value, of profound importance, and the source of great truth, we feel a solemn duty to provide proper interpretive commentary. There are truths, though they will stand on their own, that beg for proper interpretation. Why? So we can accentuate them even more. Let me explain this reasoning by using three things: one pictorial, one scriptural, and one melodic. And do not panic, I'll do it in the next few minutes. The first is my grandson, Jacob. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and this picture says it all. I've heard people tell me, they said, "You have a special love when a grandchild is born." My sisters tried to warn me, but I had no idea. Just simply watching him brings me great joy. But let me show you another picture. The second adds color. It doesn't change, but it adds. We need more color. My notes told me to pause here, so I'm just going to pause after saying that. But colors are more than visual shades of crayons, paints, and oils and acrylics. Even the shades and hues of differing people's nationalities and ethnicities. Wisdom colors, research colors, understanding colors, study colors, scriptural investigation colors, mission statements color, and context colors content. Yes, that kind of coloring can accentuate the already accentuated. In reading my books about the good book, the wisdom of others also color my world. I talked to Jim the other day about theodicy, and he colored my understanding of theology. I sat in Alan's class, and when Alan teaches, he colors the text. Now, I want to go to scriptural. Most know about the Sermon on the Mount, the introduction followed by the 9 precepts. And if you don't, see Jim after this treatise, and he'll arrange for another discipline for you if you don't know that. The listeners are in an amphitheater-like space that holds thousands of people. And being out of doors, their greatest challenge is sound. Dr. Bill Creasy adds color or accentuates the already accentuated by informing us of God's acoustic ingenuity. Jesus can easily be heard by thousands without raising his voice. He did not have a Bose, Sony, or JVC sound apparatus. Jesus had a JJ sound system, Jehovah Jireh. Creasy says that when Jesus began to speak, a breeze would come off the Mediterranean Sea and flow around the Mount of Carmel. Then across the Jezreel Valley, the wind would pick up speed through the Artel Pass, and that breeze would carry sound so that Jesus could talk in a normal voice and be heard crystal clear by thousands who were there. For me, Creasy accentuated the already accentuated. The Bible is a verbal snapshot, so I can see it more clearly and in color with the addition of theological investigation, interpretation, and thought. Commentary colors, it does not change the good book. It simply accentuates what has already been accentuated. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, scholarly research is worth 1,000 pictures. That's Brown again. Remember now, God did not give us pictures to pass down from antiquity, but divine words that we might interpretly color. Now the melodic. Sing, David.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Sing, Errol. Sing, Jackie. Sing, Robin. Now sing it louder.
Jesus,
not change the words. Amen. They don't alter the message. They don't disturb the content. They don't change the meaning. They don't upset the flow. This melodic enterprise enhances the already enhanced. It makes more beautiful that which is already beautiful. It simply accentuates that which has already been accentuated.
Asking in this love that we don't deserve, but it's been so freely given, let's quiet our souls for a brief season of silence.